The scriptures often stress the importance of diligence. A number of times the word diligent or some form appears throughout my Bible. When you look to the wisdom book of Proverbs, you can appreciate diligence. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, it is written, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Proverbs 12:24 reads, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Verse 27, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Chapter 13 and verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." 21:5, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Chapter 22:29, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." That word "mean" means ordinary, obscure, unknown. In contrast to kings, those of low rank. And then in chapter 27, verse 23, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." You can't read all of that and not appreciate the value of diligence. That is careful and persistent work or effort. What I'd like to do in our brief study is highlight some areas where diligence is needed. I begin by pointing out that diligence is needed when it comes to teaching our children. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, it was said in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." How shall we love the Lord? "With all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And then he said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them." What's the next word? "Diligently unto whom? Thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And so I recommend to each one of us from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, that as you make a study of where diligence is needed, it's needed in teaching children. Notice he talked about in verse 5, "Love the Lord thy God." And how that in verse 6, "These words shall be in thine heart." I'm asking all of us the question, how much effort do we put into teaching our children the words of the Lord? How much care do we put forth in helping them to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might? Do our children know the words of the Lord? Do they love the Lord with all their heart? Maybe some of that depends on how much diligence we've been putting forth in teaching them. We can't emphasize that enough. But again, as you think about where diligence is needed, from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17, diligence is needed when it comes to commandment keeping. That is, to keeping the commandments of our God. Notice where Moses said, "Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee." That is, we need to be careful. We need to be persistent when it comes to doing what the Lord says. One of the exhortations from a great leader of the Israelite people comes from Joshua 22 and in verse 5. When it is said, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments." You might underscore where Joshua said, "Take diligent heed." Take diligent heed to do what? Keep His commandments. That's the commandments of God. In the book of Ezra in chapter 7, when the Lord's people returned to their homeland to rebuild out of captivity, King Artaxerxes made this grand decree. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, now listen to this, let it be diligently done. I don't think you can improve on that. And recommend that you and I need that same kind of fervor today when it comes to doing whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven. In Psalm 119 and in verse 4, wherein the psalmist shows great respect and appreciation for the Lord's law, he said, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy statutes, Thy precepts, how? Diligently. You might underscore, circle that word, diligently. So how can we make a study of where diligence is needed and not call attention to commandment keeping? A third area where diligence is needed is when I come to the book of Proverbs in chapter 4 and in verse 23, and I read these words. Keep thy heart, and the heart that is under consideration is up here. It's not this blood pump that's vital, but the mind, the part of man that thinks, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Keep that heart with all what? Diligence. It takes care. It takes constant effort to keep our heart. And then he said, for out of it are the issues of life. The fact that he said, keep thy heart, tells me that heart keeping is an individual responsibility. You know, lots of emphasis is placed on keeping one's heart through the American Heart Association. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something more urgent than that. Keeping this heart. And if we don't put forth diligence to keep it, what can happen? It will be unkept. And in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, notice where Moses appealed to the Israelites. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul how? Diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen and lest they depart from thy heart. You know, a lot of things can depart from our heart if we don't keep our heart with all diligence. And so I need to work on that. I do well to take note of everything this book says about the heart. How that we today, for example, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. As we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5, 19. And on that goes. We obey from the heart that form of doctrine, Romans 6, 17. And so we need to take note of everything the Bible says about the heart and keep it with all diligence. The fourth thing that we call attention to when you explore areas where diligence is needed, how about when it comes to seeking the lost? I can't think of a better place to read when I think about lost seeking than Luke chapter 15. That's what this chapter is really all about. Seeking the lost. Remember the three lost things? The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In Luke 15, beginning of verse 8, Jesus asked this question. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek how? What's the next word? Diligently. Till she find it. That word till suggests she's persistent. She doesn't give up. Sometimes we give up too easy. Can you see her in your mind? Lost this one piece. She could have said, I just lost one, I've got nine others. But it shows value over one. The fact that though she had nine others, she lost one, she still swept the house and lit a candle, seeking diligently till she found it. And when she hath found it, not if, but when. Some things are a matter of when, not if. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, what she say to her friends and neighbors? Rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost. You think she'd ever found the lost peace if she hadn't sought diligently? No way. And then the application the Lord made of that lost seeking story. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. You see, it emphasizes the value of one sinner. You know the value of one soul? Remember that? A little side point, Matthew 16:26, when Jesus said, what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? One soul is worth more than the whole world. The Lord came, according to Luke 19 and verse 10, to seek and to save that which was lost. No doubt there will be more rejoicing when there's more seeking the lost. So I need to make it my earnest effort to seek those who are lost, to bring them to Jesus that they might be saved. Again, when I consider areas where diligence is needed, I turn to Acts chapter 18 and read about a mighty man in the Scriptures. His name is Apollos. And the Bible says in Acts 18 and verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught how? Diligently. That says something about his speaking and his teaching. It was careful. It was persistent. There was work and effort that was being put forth. What was he speaking and teaching diligently? Science. No. What was he speaking and teaching diligently? The things of the Lord. You know, some people put forth a lot of diligence when it comes to speaking and teaching in other areas, but not much effort being put forth when it comes to speaking and teaching the things of the Lord, which is of greater value. Well, there's a need for speaking and teaching in other areas, no doubt. But how about when it comes to the things of the Lord? You might look up that expression, of the Lord, or of God, or of Christ. And there are lots of them throughout this book. How much do we know about those things? Maybe we've learned and we've become educated in lots of areas, but we've failed when it comes to knowing the things of the Lord. We can't teach, we can't speak what we don't know, can we? And so we need to read, we need to study. Fill our minds with the things of the Lord so we can speak those things and teach those things. A lot of people are speaking and teaching other things. How are you going to know the difference if it's of the Lord or not? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. If it's not from the Scriptures, if it's not in keeping with the will of God, it's not of God. It's not of the Lord. Much of the information that's being circulated today is not of the Lord. Think how many people would come to know the Lord if each one of us would do like Apollos and speak and teach diligently the things of the Lord. That ought to be our plea. That ought to be the criteria that dictates and determines what I speak and what I teach. It's limited by that which is of the Lord. But also, when I think of areas where diligence is needed, I can't overlook what is said in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Among widow taken into the number requirements. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 10, when Paul said, if she have diligently what? Followed every good works. And so when it comes to good works, we need diligence. Good works are the responsibility of each one of us. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he talked about the fact that these people have been changed. They're transformed. At one time they were without Christ. They had no hope. Now they're in Christ and they have hope. And he said in Ephesians 2 and 10, in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. We are His workmanship. Workmanship. It's a beautiful word. You appreciate workmanship. What finer workmanship has been accomplished than what you see in Christ? When He can take somebody like Saul, the chiefest of sinners, and straightway preach Christ in the synagogues. You can't improve on that kind of workmanship, can you? Or He can take folks like those in the church at Corinth, at one time unrighteous, and say, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. That's workmanship. Think of what He's made of us. When in John the Revelator, Revelation 1, talks about the fact that He hath made us kings and priests. That's workmanship. That's very finest. Okay? And we have been created, we've been made, we've been formed and fashioned in Christ to good works. That's a contrast to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 when he said, in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. And then verse 3, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Don't walk like that. Don't live like that. But he said, in good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When Paul wrote Titus in chapter 2 and verse 14, he described how Christ gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, that is, purchase us or buy us from all iniquity, and purify in Himself a peculiar people. I'm interested in the last four words. Zealous of good works. That word zealous carries with it the theme of our study, where diligence is needed. So we need fervor in following good works. Lots more could be said about that. But again, when I consider what this book says about diligence and where it's needed, how about when it comes to seeking God? Make a good study in and of itself, diligently seeking God. Hebrews 11:6 will be the theme passage. When it is written, but without faith is impossible to please Him. You know, there are some things that are impossible. There are Bible impossibilities. This is one of them. It's impossible to please God without faith. Some think that I'm pleasing to God, but I don't have the kind of faith that I ought to. Impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of who? That's exactly right. Them that diligently seek Him. So there may be those who don't seek God at all. There may be those that just kind of seek Him without the kind of effort that they ought to put forth, just half-heartedly. And then there are those who diligently seek Him. How am I when it comes to seeking God? Can I expect to find God if I don't seek Him diligently? Back in the law book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 4 and verse 29, it is said, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. Period. No. If what? Thou seek Him how? With all thy heart and with all thy soul. Maybe some people don't ever find the Lord because they don't seek Him diligently with all their heart and with all their soul. They don't put forth enough effort. That's that word diligent. Remember? Persistent effort. Then in Acts chapter 17, when you find Paul at Mars Hill, one of the great sermons of the New Testament. Take time to read Paul's sermon at Athens when he found himself in the midst of an idolatrous people. Superstitious, he said. They had altars with inscriptions to all kinds of gods. And they even had one case, maybe they overlooked one, to the unknown God. And it was Paul's task to make known to these people the unknown God. It's a beautiful sermon. And in the midst of that preaching, he said in Acts 17:27 that they should do what? Seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I believe with all my heart that as this passage teaches, that when an individual seeks the Lord with all of his heart, that God in his providence will open the door for that individual to find him, to find the truth, to find the right way. But some people never find the Lord. They don't find the truth. They don't know because they don't seek him. They're not looking for it. They're not interested, maybe. Well, how about you and me? Are we diligently seeking God? Another area, though. How about when it comes to looking? Is looking important? Let's see what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking how? Diligently. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He's talking to those who are Christians, brethren. And he said, looking how? Diligently. Did you know it's possible to fail of God's grace? You know, we're being told by a lot of people in the religious world that once in grace, always in grace. If that be true, why this admonition? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. The fact that you can fail of God's grace supports the doctrine that you need to look diligently. I mean, if you can't fail of God's grace, no need to look diligently, right? And so how am I looking? Is it possible that a root of bitterness has come up? Is it possible that I've been defiled because I've not been looking diligently? That can happen. And I don't want to fail of God's grace because the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 5 and 8 that we're saved by grace. And if I fail of the grace of God, I've lost my salvation. All hope that I should be saved has been taken away. And so I've got to look diligently. Be careful. Put forth the effort and the work that it takes so as to be saved. And that brings us into the next point that we heard read a moment ago so well from 2 Peter chapter 1. That highlights another area where diligence is needed, and that is when it comes to making additions to our faith. You know, some would have you believe that faith is all that's important. It's been said, it's in some of the creeds of men, that we're justified by faith only. Peter must not have known that. He didn't have a copy of that in his possession. He never read that. It hadn't been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. For he recognized that it takes more than faith. You have to add to your faith. And that with diligence. Look at verse 5, 2 Peter 1. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. He didn't just say add to your faith. That might have been enough, some would think. But he gives a little extra oomph, doesn't he? When he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. What am I to add to my faith, Peter? Virtue. That's the courage to stand up and to speak out, to do what the Bible teaches. Virtue is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when faced with the fire, either bow or burn, they said, we will not bow. We will not worship thy gods. That's virtue. That's courage. That's what those in John 12 are lacking when they refuse to confess the Lord because they're afraid they're going to be put out of the synagogue. Knowledge is important, knowledge. The Lord said, you should know the truth. Add that. How does knowledge come? We talked recently about where there is no substitute. No substitute for Bible study if we're going to have knowledge. Whatever you studied in the schools, how are you going to know it if you don't study it? If you don't read it, how are you going to know it? How are you going to know the Bible? How are you going to know the will of the Lord? How are you going to know the way of salvation if you don't read and study? And temperance. Temperance is self-control. keeping your body in subjection, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. That influences what you think and what you say and what you do. Patience. Need a lot of that, don't we? Patience. Patience with each other. Godliness. Being like God. Being godly. Live godly in this present world, Titus 2. Brotherly kindness. Being kind to your brother. Be kind one to another, Paul once said, Ephesians 4. Kind. Hearted and true. We sing about that. And charity. That's love. Love for God. Love for the things of God. Love for our brethren. Love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. I need to add that. Additives. Spiritual additions to faith. How are we working? You might think of steps. Stair steps. Got faith at the base. You want to reach maturity, you want to reach where you need to be, take those steps. Add virtue all the way up to charity. And he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But on the contrary, he that lacketh these things is blind. Do you know you could be blind spiritually? You know, we've entered a new decade with the coming of this year, 2020. Would you like to have 2020 vision? Here you can have it right here. By adding these things to your faith, 2020 vision, spiritually. If you lack these things, you're blind spiritually. You can't see afar off. Is that nearsightedness? Can't see afar off. Spiritual nearsightedness, nearsighted Christians, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, here's the verse that shows diligent faith adding is a must. Wherefore the rather, instead of lacking these things, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. He didn't say that it's impossible for a Christian to fall. But if you add to your faith like you should, if you give diligence, you'll never fall. Why is it some fall? Because they didn't, what? Put forth the diligence. They didn't do like the king decreed. Let it be diligently done. And so they fail. How about one more? Number 10. Areas where diligence is needed when it comes to being found blameless. 2 Peter 3. Peter talked about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord will find us in some state or another. Right? How will it find you? How will the day of the Lord find me? That's the question. 2 Peter 3:10. He said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Oh, there were those who were scoffing at that. He said, in the last days there'll be scoffers. There'll be those who would mock the idea of Christ coming. They have the idea that there's been so much time that's passed. If he's not come yet, he must not be coming at all. Right? That's what they said. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 4. But he said in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward. And I'm thankful that God is long-suffering. Because that is connected with salvation. 2 Peter 3:15, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. But back to verse 9, he said, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day the Lord will come, it's inevitable. Not a matter of if, but when. As a thief in the night, unexpectedly, suddenly. And it's going to bring an end of the present order of things. Some people think that this earth's going to be rejuvenated. It's going to be restored. It's going to be a peaceful paradise. Peter hadn't read that book either. He said, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Saying then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Those who think that it's all going to be restored and rejuvenated don't know what pass away, melt, burned up, and dissolve mean. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, new dwelling place. And so in light of that, he says in verse 14, wherefore? What's the wherefore, therefore? Beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be what? Be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. It's not going to be by accident or just by chance that when the day of the Lord comes, I'm going to be found in peace, without spot and blameless. Just kind of worked out that way. I don't know how that happened. Lo and behold, I am blameless. No. He said, be diligent. Takes work. Takes effort. And so it challenges me, and I hope it does you too, as to how I'm going to be found. If I'm going to be found of him in the day that he comes that way, and I don't know when that's going to be, then I need to be diligent to be found of him that way. How often? Every hour of every day. All the time. And if I'm diligent to be found of him blameless today, then when he comes, I'll be ready. Right? And if the next day comes, boast not thyself of tomorrow. We don't know what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. But should today be tomorrow, or tomorrow be today, and I do that each day, then no matter what day he comes, I'll be found of him like I need to be. How will we be found? In the day of the Lord. Lots of areas where diligence is needed. We just kind of scratched the surface. 10 of them. I found the word diligence in some form or fashion 62 times in my Bible. Let me suggest to you that when it comes to diligence, we need to do like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, and that is abounding in all diligence. Appreciate the way that you've listened. May God help you and me to make personal application of this study in our own lives. Maybe that you're not yet a child of God and all things are ready. If you believe and repent, confess your faith, and be buried with him in baptism, you can be that workmanship we talked about, created in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then to put forth all diligence in these vital areas. Maybe you've become a child of God, but you've not been what you need to be, and you think about being found of him and not being found like you need to be. It points out the need to make some changes, right? Maybe you find your heart's not right, you need to repent and pray like Simon was admonished to do in Acts 8. What are you waiting for? It's a good question, isn't it? Isn't that what Saul said, or Ananias said to Saul? And now why tarriest thou? Acts 22:16. Why keep Jesus waiting? If you've wandered astray, God is calling the prodigal. That's a call you need to answer while we stand and sing. Won't you come?